Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. Think back to when all this started, March of 2020. We had the shutdowns, basically. We were told to stay home, flatten the curve, save lives. New analysis from Johns Hopkins University finding the lockdowns had very little impact on saving lives in both the U.S. and Europe.
With the worst of Omicron seemingly behind us as cases continue to drop, many doctors are now saying it is time to start easing COVID restrictions, and that includes taking off our masks. Does the science support gradually moving on from the pandemic?
We start with the early lockdowns, the negligible effects. Dr. Amesh Adalja, senior scholar at Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security, didn't work on the analysis, but it did come from a colleague there at Johns Hopkins. So lockdowns were supposed to be about flattening the curve, sparing the hospitals, and preventing deaths. Do the results of those lockdowns bear out all of that?
No, I don't think that they do. And I think that has to do with the way those policies were executed and some of the cascading negative impacts and other kind of implications that those policies had. No one, and I was never a proponent of that this lockdown policy, no one had thought that these were going to be the best tools, these kind of blunt tools that don't differentiate between a risky activity and a non-risky activity, ones that drive a lot of behavior underground, which could be more risky, for example, or ones that have that are not targeted. And I think what we see is that these didn't work so well. Many people didn't comply with them. And we also find that many people did a lot of the social distancing on their own, even if there wasn't a lockdown. Because if you look at cell phone mobility data, it often fell before an official lockdown was in place. So I think that these really are not the policy of choice and never have been, and shouldn't be something that anybody thinks of using as a tool for any future pandemic.
Yeah, and in hindsight, and maybe going forward, if we have to do things like this again, it's probably more about limiting gatherings, or at least trying to get people to do that, right? Because we knew and we know how this spreads. It is, you know, person to person and lots of families or parties inside. But when you close beaches or parks or whatever, and then you do the quote unquote lockdown, well, that limits stuff that is safer than being cooped up in a room with you or your friends and your family and giving each other a virus.
Exactly. So if you, for example, can't go eat outdoors at a restaurant or play basketball outside, people are going to say, why don't you just come over and we'll do something indoors, which is higher risk. So it ends up making behavior paradoxically more dangerous because you have prohibited people's ability to do things in a safer manner. And one of the other aspects is that it really stunts the ability of the population to learn how to risk calculate, because they're kind of being hit over the head with this abstinence-only approach when it's much more important, especially with the virus that's destined for endemicity, that people know how to navigate a world in which COVID-19 is going to be present. And I think we lost that opportunity by sticking to this abstinence-only approach for so long. And it's something that I think we really have to go back and re-examine, because there are so many negative impacts on the way that the pandemic policy was handled that we have to make sure that this never is something that happens again.
So would the Chinese make the argument, Doctor, that, well, of course, lockdowns didn't really work in the U.S. and in Europe because, as you yourself just pointed out, a lot of people really didn't take it to heart. There were all kinds of violations. I think the Chinese government would argue that, yeah, lockdowns really do work if you actually lock things down.
Yeah, if that's a society that you want to live in, where people can get nailed into their house and get arrested for violating that, if you want that authoritarian type of regime in place, then yes, of course, if you prohibit by force social interaction, then obviously cases are going to fall and people are not going to have severe illness because you have basically forbade life as you know it to that. And I don't think that's something that should be on the table because people have individual rights, irrespective of what the Chinese government thinks about it. And I think that's not the solution when you can do targeted types of interventions that actually work. You know, for example, the majority of our deaths were 3/4 were in people above the age of 65, and a large component of those were in nursing homes. Why wasn't there better nursing home policy? That would have made a bigger dent in deaths if we would have actually gave nursing homes the resources to be able to take care of these patients and to do isolation and to do infection control. But instead, many states did the opposite and actually sent contagious patients to those nursing homes and basically in a powder keg environment. So there's a lot. I think this is a false alternative that you either have to do things with like China does or you get no benefit. I think targeted approaches reflective of what is high risk, what is low risk are important. And I think also giving people guidance to do things voluntarily if they want to. If you read the paper, they also talk about the fact that many places did things voluntarily, even if there wasn't a lockdown. So that will obviously make a lockdown look not as good because people were already social distancing and omitting certain social activities. So I think what we want to do is have voluntary best practices that are really based on transmission risks that are there and that are not one-size-fits-all, that they're much more precision-guided than not blunt.
Dr. Amesh Sadalja, senior scholar, Johns Hopkins University.
An increasing number of doctors and epidemiologists from across the country say that now is the time for an easing of COVID restrictions. Over in Europe, where Omicron waves peaked in mid-January, countries are rolling back most, if not all, COVID precautions.
Here in the U.S., even with infections slowing dramatically in some cases, there have still been over 2,000 people a day dying from COVID. Death rate actually continues to increase. Is it premature to start ditching things like masks?
With us is Dr. Jeffrey Klausner, an epidemiologist and clinical professor of preventative medicine at USC Keck School of Medicine. So over in Denmark, they've transitioned from a COVID pandemic to endemic. Are we ready for that shift in thinking here?
Well, I think we're definitely getting there. So we're hearing from a lot of big voices in the pandemic from the East Coast, deans of school of public health, CNN News, talking heads and people here in California at UCSF that, you know, we're in a different place than where we were certainly a year ago. Yesterday was the lowest number of cases reported in LA County since, you know, mid to end of December. So more than 5 or 6 weeks. We have, you know, population immunity due to vaccination or prior infection. CDC a week and a half ago came out and finally confirmed through their studies that people who recovered from infection have equal or better immunity than people who've been vaccinated. So things are much, much different. And, you know, I think we're at a place where doctors like myself are saying, well, now it's more about personal responsibility, personal choices. What can people do to protect themselves at an individual level?
So do we do a route of let's come up with some guidelines for hospitalizations or whatever and then dial back? Or is it maybe the other one, the quicker one, just, hey, you know what, let's say no more masks. And then if we have to bring these back for the winter, we'll do it. But a personal responsibility, personal risk gauge kind of thing and do it the quicker route.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there are people calling for quicker routes. I mean, a couple months ago was about, you know, an average of 700 hospitalizations. So we're not yet in LA County at 700 hospitalizations. We're still at a few thousand hospitalizations. So, but that doesn't mean, you know, we couldn't have a different off ramp. For a while, it was February 15th. So they're going to end indoor mask mandates on February 15th. So I think we are getting to a place where authorities are definitely feeling more comfortable about, you know, loosening institutional or population level restrictions, but still making recommendations that say, hey, well, if you're indoors, if you're in a crowded setting, and if you're at risk for severe consequences, the best thing to do is wear a mask. And also remember, there's still, you know, a proportion of people who are unvaccinated, have not been infected. Those people really should get vaccinated and protect themselves.
But of course, here's where it gets really murky, right? So you go to a movie theater and let's say they get rid of the policy as movie theaters currently have about being masked while you're inside, which is effective or not depending on the theater and the people who happen to be there at any given time. But at least that's the policy.
Effective on the size of the popcorn bucket.
And the, right, how long it takes.
It takes 3 hours then.
But that said, I mean, we do then run the risk of running into this area where the person sitting next to you says, well, okay, I no longer have to wear a mask, and so I'm not, as he or she, you know, coughs and sneezes, and you're sitting next to them in a crowded theater. Okay, you've got a mask on, but you're not going to feel as comfortable if they're not.
Right. So, you know, it's going to move to this sense of what is my tolerance for, you know, personal risk? So, you know, am I a young, healthy, vaccinated person where, you know, the likelihood of having severe disease, being hospitalized is very, very low? You know, I'm going to remain sitting next to this person. And there's probably a bunch of other things I may be more concerned about. But if I'm an older, you know, person, I'm immune compromised, and I'm particularly worried about acquiring severe disease, I'm going to move away, or I'm going to put my mask on, or I'm going to avoid going to the theater that day. But we've also shifted a bit from focusing on the prevention of controlling the spread of infection to recognizing, well, we have treatments available, we can prevent people from getting hospitalized. And Omicron taught us, if anything, that all our interventions are really not that potent at preventing the spread. All the restrictions, all the mask wearing, all the social distancing, but also taught us that if we can get people early treatment, we can prevent them from going to the hospital.
Dr. Jeffrey Klausner, epidemiologist, clinical professor of preventative medicine, USC Keck School of Medicine.
We end today's coronavirus daily with a dubious distinction for the United States of America, the world's richest, most powerful, and most technologically advanced country, and the country that has far and away the highest COVID death rate among all other developed nations. The wave of Omicron infections cemented America's lead in COVID death rates among rich nations. Over the last month, the U.S. passed Great Britain and Belgium in death rates over the entirety of the pandemic. This is in spite of the U.S. having the earliest access and biggest supply of COVID vaccine doses.
Since December 1st, when the first official Omicron case was recorded here, the share of Americans who have been killed by the virus is at least 63% higher than any of the other large wealthy nations. It's according to a New York Times analysis. Hospitalizations here also far outpaced other developed countries. Meanwhile, rates of vaccinations and boosters, they continue to lag. This is an Odyssey Original. Find us and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.